Major League Baseball's most successful franchise finally arrives in Buffalo. It's the Yankees in town to face the Blue Jays in the first of a three-game series. To set the scene on this one, off we go to the men who'll call it. Dan Schulman is with Buck Martinez.
Hyun-Jin Ryu, who is 3-1, 2.51 ERA. He's having a tremendous season, signed as a free agent.
So there's one away, and that will bring up Luke Voit. Hit in the air to deep left. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. Luke Voit. Voit hits one to Detroit. And that's probably the right direction.
The right direction.
He is cool hand Luke. He homers to left, and the Yankees take an immediate 1-0 lead. Here is Aaron Hicks. Switch it to batting right. And the fastball swung on and hit in the air to deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. So we begin the game as Hicks hits one to the sticks. We begin the game with Voit and Hicks going back-to-back and a belly-to-belly. And the Yankees take a 2-0 lead.
Shaw at second. Nobody out. The 3-2. Hit right back up the middle. Base hit into center field. Travis Shaw turns the corner at third. He's coming to the plate. The throw from Hicks is not in time. Shaw scores to tie the game on an RBI base hit by Santiago Espinal.
Boy, the Blue Jays have had their chances. They've left five men on. This game is tied at two.
Here's the 1-0 to Miggy. Swung on and ripped to deep left center. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Miggy. Miguel Andujar just lofted one to deep left center field. The do can do. And getting Miggy with it. And the Yankees take a 3-2 lead.
Hook to left field, and that is trouble. All the way down into the corner. LeMahieu is going to come into score. Voit around third. Espinal's relay to the plate, and Jansen couldn't squeeze it on the swipe tag attempt. A two-run double, and then coming to third on the throw is Frazier, and it's 5-2 Yankees.
Yeah, they had a shot at Voit at the plate.
Another walk, and he's loaded the bases. And he walks in a run. Three consecutive walks, and it's 6-2 Yankees.
All with two outs.
Sportsfeld story time. We are looking back at our favorite games of 2020. It was a crazy year. A lot of crazy things happened. We are going to dig into some of those things. We're trying to do a little mishmash of all the different sports and all the different moments. And one of the great stories of the 2020 year, well, obviously it was a year with uncertainty in every sport, and we didn't quite know what to expect. You know, there was like 4 months where we didn't think we'd see anything ever again. The Toronto Blue Jays were a team that, after watching one intra-squad game, we both were like, oh, this is a playoff team. This is a very, very good baseball team. Not very, very good, but we thought they could be 500. They could be the eighth seed. They could make just enough noise to get in, and we were right about that. But it was sort of amazing looking back at it how many times in a 60-game season we managed to flip our opinions of a baseball team. It was truly a roller coaster with such a small sample size.
Yeah, it really felt like it went from very cautious optimism and excitement to about a 2-week period where it was like they might finish with like the 3 or 4 seed.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was a minute there, and we're going to talk about part of that minute in a second, but there's a minute there where it was like, oh, they might not only make the playoffs, but like play a real, like have a real shot at winning a round or two.
Yeah. And that sort of crested, I think it absolutely peaked at the beginning of September. They really went on an unbelievable run of crazy comebacks. They erased 6-2 deficits twice. They also came back from down 4-1. They beat the Phillies in a game where they started out down 7-0 in the first inning.
Bottom of the sixth, Vince Velasquez does go back out to the mound, and he works to Rowdy Tellez.
And he hits it a mile to right field. Oh, man. Over the tent and over the seats out in right, a monster home run for Rowdy Tellez.
Boy, when he hits some, there are a lot of no-doubters. That one went forever.
And here is Gurriel. Gurriel gets into one and sends it a long way to left field, and this is going to go. All of a sudden, it's a one-run ball game.
Gurriel won the game in game one with a base hit to left field, and he makes it an interesting ball game now.
Jansen's the runner at third. Biggio's at second. Grichik's at first. Blue Jays trying to come all the way back. And to the backstop. Jansen on his way home. Safe. And they've tied it.
What a comeback in an improbable situation.
And Tellez hits one off the end of the bat. Shallow center field. It's going to drop. One run is home. Second run to the plate. And they've got a two-run lead. Unbelievable. What a win this would be. The Blue Jays got seven in the bottom of the sixth to take a two-run lead. It's down to one right now. And he got him. A.J. Cole strikes him out, and the Blue Jays come back from a 7-0 first inning deficit to win the game and sweep the doubleheader.
And they, I think, to me, this was my pick, the first one, was September 7th against the New York Yankees. It is a 12-7 Blue Jays win. They did it without Teoscar Hernandez. They did it without Bo Bichette. Which was a good opportunity to think maybe that they are screwed, because both of those guys were so good in the time that they played. This is a, as I said, it's a 12-7 Blue Jays win, and it started out just really, really, really badly. It was as bad as you can hope off the top. There was two home runs in a row in the first inning from Luke Voit and Aaron Hicks. And this, I should mention, this was the first game that the Blue Jays played against the Yankees all year long. And they were one game up on the Yankees at this point. It was a Hyunjin Ryu start. So going into it, this was, you know, it seems silly to say in a 60-game season. But this was, coming into it, the biggest game of the year. You had your ace against, you know, Jordan Montgomery. But you had Hyunjin Ryu getting his first look against the Yankees as a Blue Jay. So it felt like there was a lot riding on this coming in.
It also was sort of because of the way the schedule worked, and they played the Yankees like whatever it was, like 12 times in September or something like that.
Yeah, 10. But yeah.
It was kind of like all season at this, to which at this point would have been 2/3 of the season basically. It had been like, okay, like they're playing well, they're winning games, but let's wait and see till the 10 games against the Yankees. And then the 10 games the Yankees got here, and it was, and I was like, okay, we'll throw Ryu at them, and we'll like, we're going to give them our best shot, even though they were dealing with injuries, as you said. And it was like, and also the mentality around like the time of the series, because they were one game up, it was like, okay, well, if they can take 2 of 3 and 2 of 3, all of a sudden they're 4 games up on them or 5 games up on them or whatever. I can't do math. But then it's like, in September, like the Yankees aren't going to catch him, and they'll end up with the second seed in the division. So there was the, for a early September game in a weird truncated season, there were some real, like some real stakes happening.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. It was not a very good Hyunjin Ryu start. He gave up 5 earned runs in 5 innings, a bunch of home runs to Voit and Hicks. As I mentioned, Miguel Andujar hit a home run. And then Clint Frazier with a 2-run double. It was 5-2 through 5 innings. And then another run came in. It made it 6-2. The Blue Jays down 4 going in to the bottom of the sixth inning. And if we wanted to drill it down even further, drill it down beyond our favorite game of the season, or our favorite week of the season, or our favorite, this might have been my favorite inning of the entire season. It's a 10-run bottom of the sixth inning to come back against the New York Yankees. It's great shit. It's Sean Reed Foley getting a win also, by the way.
Yeah, it was there was this game, this inning, and the Phillies game, which we almost did, with the big comeback, where it just – look, we were never under any auspices that the 2020 Blue Jays were going to win the World Series or anything. But they had a couple moments this season where they just sort of felt like a team that was not quite a team of destiny feeling, but there was a feeling of like something's happening here.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I remember in the Phillies game when they had the big comeback, they had won four straight at that going into that one. And then they were down big and then they came back and won that game. And that started to have a feeling of sort of that 2015 thing of, well, it doesn't matter how big they're down. They'll hit a bunch of home runs and like, it'll be fine. And then this game had not quite that, like, it doesn't matter how much they're down idea, but it did have a, I feel like this was a game that lulled us into a place of, well, it's great, they're doing well, to, oh, they might actually be good.
Yes, I think that's exactly perfect, the way to put it, is they, you know, as many times you try to swear them off, this was them absolutely pulling you back that you were going to believe.
This one was also sort of like, crazy. It was also like just after the trade deadline as well. So right. They had a little bit of that, like, yes, in hindsight, you can argue they should have done more. But at the time, they made moves to address needs. And like, we didn't know Jonathan VR was going to be awful yet. And they had made some acquisitions at the deadline, which we would not have expected before the season. And so there was a bit of that, like, oh, the team believes as well, sheen on them.
And it certainly made them seem like a fun team, I think, yeah. As well, which is like, is almost as important as them being good, was like the Phillies game especially, and this one as well. I was like, man, it's just a fun team to watch finally, after how piss brutal they were the 2 years prior. You know, you knew you were getting Ryu starts, which are always good, and the young guys was just really, really exciting to watch.
And not only were the young guys exciting, but the fact they were actually contributing. Because, like, they were exciting 2 years ago when the team was terrible. But now it's like, now Vlad hit a 2 RBI single and then stole second in this game. Which is, yes. Like, a crazy sentence. But, yeah.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And in this bottom of the sixth inning, like, we come into it with the Blue Jays down 6-2. Santiago Espinal, who we stand for from before the season even started, starts it off with a walk.
Boy, what a good at-bat that was.
Ryan, I just don't get the pitchers these days.
Then Danny Jansen flies out. So there's one out. Kevin Biggio draws a walk, as Kevin Biggio often does.
And Biggio takes another walk. So two men on for the Blue Jays.
Randall Grichuk gets a chaos infield single, which is always a good sign for things about to be a little bit ridiculous. Then there is a fielding error by Luke Voit helping. I remember this so well. Is Rowdy Tellez doesn't strike out in this at-bat. He has a 10-pitch at-bat that ends with a weak ground ball to first base that Voit totally lets eat him up. And Buck Martinez, all the things that happened in this inning, Buck Martinez was like, man, what a great job by Tellez to not strike out there.
Now the 3-2 pitch. Tellez bounds it towards first base. Knocked down by Voit. Now he has to track it down. Now he won't have a play. Everybody's safe and a run will score.
Boy, when you put the bat on the ball, good things can happen. And if you strike out, nothing good can happen. But Rowdy deserves a lot of credit for battling Chad Green in that at bat.
Voit boots it. Espinal scores. Grichuk moves up. Everybody moves up. Bases are still loaded. As you mentioned, the next one, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., a two-run single.
The bases are loaded. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is coming up.
First pitch fastball, and a bouncer gets by Voit into right field. And two runs are going to come in to score. Tellez around the third. Guerrero takes one the other way for a two-run single, and it's a one-run game.
Now it's 6-5. Guerrero then steals second.
There's the slider. And stealing second base is Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Gurriel singles to center.
Can Lourdes Gurriel keep the line moving?
The 1-1 pitch. Swinging a line drive into left field. Down for a base hit. Here comes Tellez to tie the game. Up to third goes Guerrero on an RBI single by Lourdes Gurriel Jr.
Tellez scores. Now it's 6-6. Another stolen base. Then VR walks. Then Travis Shaw singles.
And Travis Shaw coming up. Bases loaded. The 1-2 pitch. Swinging a line drive. Base hit into right center field. Hicks will cut it off in the alley. Guerrero scores to give the Blue Jays the lead. Gurriel's right behind him. The Blue Jays have come all the way back to take the lead on a two-run single by Travis Shaw.
It's 8-6. Joe Panik comes in and he walks. The bases are once again loaded for a guy who had another really tough season. Danny Jansen didn't look good for big stretches of this. Except for the playoffs, he looked great. But Danny Jansen, who needed this so badly.
Jansen is the 11th hitter of this sixth inning.
And a drive! Left center field! Gone! Danny Jansen clears the bases, and it's a 10-run inning for the Blue Jays.
So much for the Blue Jays being intimidated by the Yankees. They got down 2-0 before they ever came to the plate. And the Blue Jays have kicked the door wide open tonight. 10 runs. And that's going to be it for Ottavino.
It's an absolute rocket. 417-foot grand slam home run to cap it off. Makes it 12-6. Remember the bench going absolutely nuts. I should have mentioned this before, but Adam Ottavino comes in right before the Guerrero Jr. at bat. So Ottavino's night goes single, single, walk, single, walk, grand slam home run. He gives up 7 runs, doesn't get an out. This is one of those ones where his ERA absolutely skyrockets from one game to the next. His line, 0 innings pitched, 4 hits, 6 earned, 2 walks, and a home run. Not great, Adam Ottavino. Not a great moment for him.
Yeah, and also for the Danny Jansen thing, I feel like because of where we were in the season and the way his season went, this was right about the time sort of vultures started to circle for him too. There's a lot, like the Alejandro Kirk lobby was getting louder, and all the talk was, boy, this team could be good, but there's one big hole in the lineup kind of thing. And like, he wasn't even having that great a year defensively. And then he hit this. And I remember thinking, being like, oh, okay, he hit that home run in that moment. Maybe he's going to turn it around. And he didn't. But I feel like that's a reason I like this game and why this game deserves a spot on our favorite games of the year list. Because obviously the Blue Jays season did not end the way we wanted it to. Did not go particularly well. The back half of September didn't go exactly how we wanted it to. But this was like a moment. I didn't expect to have a big, joy, hopeful moment with the 2020 Blue Jays.
I want to look it up. Adam Ottavino's ERA went from 3.55 to 7.82 in the course of the sixth inning.
That's not good.
Not good. I couldn't agree more with what you said there. That was sort of... it was the perfect encapsulation of the 2020 Blue Jays in one game, in that it threw a couple innings. You were like, ah, damn it. Like, there's some promise, but they just don't have it. Like, coming into the sixth inning down 6-2, you're just like, that's, you know, they just don't have the run prevention. They make too many mistakes. They, you know, there was two fielding errors. There was strikeouts. You're just like, they just don't have it. And when, if Ryu's not going to pitch well, they don't have a shot. But then Merriweather and gives you 2 scoreless, and the next thing you know, every single guy on the team gets on base in the sixth inning, and there you are. And all of a sudden, they're a playoff team, and then they would finish up 1 game behind the New York Yankees in the standings, because they would eventually, you know, they would course correct. They, At one point, they lose four in a row to the Yankees, including a 20-6 loss in which the Yankees score seven in the second inning. But hey,
they took the next one from the Yankees after this, then lost the third, took two from the Mets, and then got outscored 43-15 in three games against the Yankees. And that was kind of it.
Yeah, it was kind of it. Anyway, that was my favorite regular season game of the year. I think that's a fun pick for me. I remember that quite well, and it'll be sort of how I remember the 2020 Blue Jays, which was overachieving and underachieving in the same game, and it always being really fun along the way. That is it for this episode of Sports Felt Story Time. We have a whole bunch of other ones. The rest of the month of December, we're going to be looking back. We have some Raptors picks. We have a crazy Maple Leafs game to look at when we thought they were out, as well as all kinds of stuff. We're going to do that every Friday for the rest of December. As always, we thank you for subscribing to the Patreon and getting these extra episodes. If there's a major topic you want us to jump on, just throw it in the Discord, and we will handle it. In the meantime, we will talk to you next time. Thank you very much for listening to Sports Felt Story Time.